things. We just had something come in that's equipment related. Well, we could bring it on the air, but it wouldn't really make much sense. But Paul and Colt and Brian and Ashley and all of us are just going about our business, and we appreciate the support from management. No question about that. We're now joined by John Machota. TheAthletic.com, he covers the Cowboys. And John, we've always heard and we've always mentioned that there's maybe nothing more stressful, beat reporter, than perhaps if you cover the Yankees or maybe if you cover the Cowboys. What's it like for you right now? Because I know you had to always be wherever anyone else was. And how is it kind of covering them now?
You know, what's pretty wild is I live a few miles away from the practice facility in Frisco, and I was just getting some groceries earlier today, and I drove by the facility, and it just was crazy how there was just like, I mean, it looked like a ghost town. There was no cars in the parking lot. They have a little field, you know, out front in this Tostitos Plaza where usually there's kids, especially today. It's a great day outside. Throwing the football around, stuff like that. Nobody's out there. There's a bunch of restaurants and businesses around there. Nobody's really walking around. It's crazy for this time of year when that place would usually be just packed with people. And so it gets me thinking that's, you know, how it's going to be for the draft too, where usually they have the draft on the big screen there and there's people all, you know, inside the Ford Center and things like that. And so that's been really just seeing things like that has been the biggest difference for me personally, because this is the time of year when, you know, I'm working from home anyway, trying to come up with different Cowboys story ideas and stuff to kind of keep, you know, keep the business moving, because people obviously still care about the Cowboys even in the off season. So this is when you do a lot of looking back at previous drafts and do mock drafts and things like that. But I will say the one thing that really stands out this time of year is I'm used to like getting these, like finding out these 30 visits and who these they're meeting with, because, you know, over the last decade, those guys have been the guys that the Cowboys have generally drafted early on, or guys that they've gotten in their 30 visits. And now that they have to do these via Skype calls and, you know, on Zoom and things like that, which has got to be just really interesting for Jerry Jones to have to do that. And they don't get as many visits. So it's harder to kind of read, I would say, the tea leaves of where teams are going and where they could potentially go than maybe in previous years, heading in with the draft only a couple weeks away.
How much does free agency inform that for you? With, you know, obviously Mike McCarthy's put maybe a little more weight onto it, and Need did that too, but Don Terry Poe and Gerald McCoy and HaHa Clinton Dix all signed, and you know, Travis Frederick retiring. Does that make you, you know, maybe more aware of where they might be leaning, especially early on?
You know, I really don't think so. And the reason I say that is because, you know, McCoy's an older player, Poe's an older player. So, you know, you have Tristan Hill behind them, and obviously Tyron Crawford can play some defensive tackle if needed. You know, so I don't know that because they have what they have that they wouldn't take a defensive tackle. Let's say like Javon Kinlaw, if he was to fall to 17, I don't think that rules that out. At safety, you know, HaHa Clinton Dix is only a one-year deal, and he's basically just replacing the loss of Jeff Heath. And so, yeah, the season started tomorrow. You know, HaHa Clinton Dix and Xavier Woods would be your starting safeties, but both those guys are only signed through this upcoming season, and that's it. So if they really like a safety, I don't see them taking a safety at 17, but let's say maybe they move back and trade back to like maybe the mid-20s, maybe they take a safety there. So I don't think that rules that out. You know, they re-signed Amari Cooper, but they don't re-sign Randall Cobb, so I think a wide receiver's still in play. And so, yeah, the free agency stuff, I think it gives them more of a kind of a cushion that if they avoid a position, that they can kind of, they have something to fall back on. But I still think that the same needs they had going into free agency are still the same top needs going into this draft, and that's cornerback, safety, and defensive end.
Obviously, the coaching staff is a bit different, but the personnel guys, as far as the drafters, Will McClay, et cetera, are still in place. Have you been able to gather it all from them? How much more difficult the preparation for the draft is made? Because even though you can Skype or Zoom or whatever, you're not getting those in-person workouts, those in-person conversations.
Yeah, it's a lot different for them. I mean, especially working from home, you know, you can put in hours and you can be doing these Zoom interviews, but it's not the same as actually being in a room and kind of bouncing ideas off of a group of, you know, 10, 15 people. And here's the thing about the Cowboys that's important to note, particularly as we get closer to the draft, is that, you know, more teams are making these war room or these draft room cams, whatever you want to call them, available for public to see at different times. And you'll notice that in previous years, a lot of teams draft with only two or three main people in a room. And that a lot of times the GM, maybe the owner, a head coach. The Cowboys have a pretty big draft room where there's a lot of people in there in this long table. Jerry Jones often has people that come in, whether it be, you know, advertise that and suite holders, people like that, that, you know, maybe sit in for a round and things like that. And so the Cowboys have a big draft room where there's a lot of people in there bouncing a lot of ideas off of each other. And so that all of a sudden have to do that and switch that into your living room. I mean, there's stuff that you can do. Obviously, technology is great. But the other side of that is you probably feel a little bit more comfortable when you're in the same room with guys bouncing things off of them as opposed to doing it online where are you 100% certain that someone can't hack into that and be watching that? I mean, I would be kind of skeptical, and I've already heard reports that there are teams that are skeptical of that stuff. So there's no question it's going to make this more difficult. The only thing I'll say is that, well, it's making it difficult for everyone. Every team has to deal with this. It's not like there's only certain states that are banning people from going to work and gathering in large groups. It's everywhere. And so every team's dealing with this. And so while it's going to be a little bit more wild than previous years, it's kind of the same playing field for everyone.
Dak Prescott has reopened negotiations, and that's going again. And again, we've talked about this before, John. This is really not, I think, about the dollar amount. That's probably about pretty similar when it comes to year in, year out. It's about the years. How close do you think they are to getting that done? And do you think that this time where they're not having to bring in guys and entertain them all day, you're essentially doing Zoom calls, maybe allows them to spend a little more mental energy on getting Dak's deal done?
Yeah, no, I think it does. I don't think they're any closer than they were maybe a week ago. I still put it at 50-50 that them getting a deal done by the start of the season, depending on whenever the season starts. I think the years are still kind of a thing there that are hanging up. The difference between, you know, Dak wanting 4, the Cowboys wanting 5, a little bit longer deal. Generally, the Cowboys, the extensions that they've made with their own players are usually 5 or more years. So, I think that's still a major hang up there, but I found it interesting that they're making some of these pre-draft Zoom calls, at least snippets of them, available on the team's website. And so there's been, I believe, 4 posted so far, and one of them's with Jalen Hurts, the quarterback from Oklahoma. And I just found that really interesting because they don't have the 30 visits. It's trimmed down. I believe it's around 18 to 20 that they have of these Zoom visits that teams are allowed to have right now. And I know they didn't waste any 30 visits. So I don't see why they'd be wasting any 18 to 20 of these Zoom conference call visits with these players. So I found it very intriguing that not only do they include Jalen Hurts in one of these, but it's one of them that they published on their different social media platforms. Wouldn't that be wild? Because Jalen Hurts is a guy that, you know, you're not going to take him in the first round. I don't even know about second, but maybe third or fourth. How wild would things be if the Cowboys go on the clock in the third round or the fourth round and they take Jalen Hurts? And Dak is still under the franchise tag. It would make things real interesting, and that's such a Cowboys move to kind of stir things up right there.
You're absolutely right about that. John, I saw where Kayvon Frazier, who's a free agent right now, he was on George Iloka's podcast, so a couple of former, and maybe Frazier's back with the Cowboys, but they were talking a bit about last season, and he was mentioning just you could feel the immense amount of pressure that Jason Garrett was under, and it had an effect on the team. They still loved Garrett and, you know, all that, but it definitely had an effect on the team. How much have you gathered since the season wrapped up a while ago? How much did Jason Garrett talk constantly week in and week out had an effect on the actual on-field product?
You know, this is only the second time I'm hearing about this. I haven't got a chance to listen to that podcast yet. That's really interesting to me, hearing about that, because I didn't really get a feel for that at all. Like, watching them down the stretch, I didn't feel like they were playing tight or they were playing like, you know, our coach's job is on the line. And I just thought that they just played bad football down the stretch against teams that they should have beaten and just in situations they should have just played better. Obviously, at Philadelphia is the number one game for me there. So while I can see that being a factor, I don't know if that's just the only thing. I just think that the kind of with that entire coaching staff, it kind of ran its course, and it was kind of getting dull, and you could just get the feeling throughout at least the second half of that season that it was going towards a point where, you know, Jerry Jones is going on the radio and talking about Jason Garrett's job because he doesn't turn down any questions. So as long as he's asked about it, he'll keep commenting on it. And that was going out throughout the whole season. He just never got the feel that Garrett was going to be back by if they just made the playoffs. Like, they were going to have to go on a serious run at least the NFC Championship game. And so I find it hard to believe that the players didn't know that. So I can see that playing a role in that. But I find it hard to believe that was the main reason or one of the only reasons.
The Travis Frederick retirement, which we know what he went through in 18 and then what he was able to do last year, does that set them back even though they have people that can fill that role or how they can react to it?
Yeah, no question it does. I mean, that's to me, I know some will argue Robert Quinn, Byron Jones, but to me, the Travis Frederick news is the Cowboys' biggest loss of this offseason, and that's because I just think that once the ball is snapped, it's easy to forget about the center, or it's really the offensive line in general, unless the guy's just getting destroyed on the edge. And so I think there was a lot of taking Travis for granted, and you just saw how different the sack numbers were in that one season he didn't play. And I thought Joe Looney was solid in that season, and obviously they bring Joe Looney back in a one-year deal, and he can be serviceable for 16 games, but he's not Travis Frederick. And they can turn to Connor McGovern, who they drafted last year in the third round, who essentially had a redshirt year because of a pectoral injury last year. And they can turn to him and give him his chance. He was a starting center for Penn State 2 years ago. But at the same time, he's not going to be Travis Frederick either. I mean, you're talking about a guy that, you know, if he plays 4 or 5 more years, you're talking about a Hall of Fame player, one of the best centers in the league for a decade. And that's not going to be easily replaced. And I don't see them going in the draft and saying we have to replace that with our first round pick or even our second, because they do have some guys that can do it. But to think that the offensive line is going to pick up where it left off, I think that's asking for a lot. Just to see the difference in that offensive line when Ron Leary left from playing left guard, and you still had the Tyron Smith, Zach Martin, Travis Frederick, there was still a drop off after that. There's no question. To me, personally, I think it's the biggest loss this offseason for the Cowboys.
Alden Smith, the Cowboys are rolling the dice on another guy who's had off-the-field issues. And, John, I can't really think of how many of these have necessarily worked out, going back to Demetrius Underwood and Alonzo Spellman. And, you know, I mean, I guess some might have for a short time. I mean, Greg Hardy didn't work out at all. This is low risk, high reward, but where do you see this ending up for Alden Smith and the Cowboys?
It's funny how you put it that way, because that's exactly the way I thought about it when I heard that news when Jay Glazer reported, because Jay Glazer's been, you know, working out with Alden Smith. Alden's been in Jay's Unbreakable program out in California, training with him. And so when I saw that news, that's one of the first things I thought. I was like, all right, how many of these have actually worked out? And so for me, being here since 2000 and end of 2010, so covering the Cowboys since the 2011 season, the only one that really jumped out to me is in 2014, I thought that Rolando McClain really stepped up, especially when you go into, I believe it was OTAs, when Sean Lee tore up his knee and was out for the season, and Sean Lee was playing some of his best football, and you thought that he was going to be, you know, he was good, should have been a Pro Bowl, all-pro linebacker that season. And Rolando McClain stepped in, and I didn't really think you'd get much out of him because he hadn't been playing football for a while. Certainly didn't seem interested when he was playing with the Raiders. But he stepped in and he got into shape, and he was a significant impact on that 2014 team that, you know, got to the divisional round of the playoffs. And so I think that's your bar, is that's what you're hoping for. That's the ceiling. But there's far more ones that didn't work out. And as you mentioned, you know, I think of Greg Hardy immediately. Comes to mind, you know, where they tried to do some patchwork with, you know, bringing in a guy like that. But, man, they take chances with guys. There's no question. They do it as much, if not more, than any other team. And, you know, they've done it recently with David Irving and Randy Gregory. And yeah, I don't know. The way I've always looked at those type of moves is that shouldn't be your plan, like you're building around those players. Like, if they can come in and give something, then that's icing on the cake. Hey, more power to you. But you shouldn't be building your roster depending on getting anything from those guys. Especially guys that haven't played in, you know, 4 or 5 years. I mean, just, I don't care how much of a freak you are actually playing NFL games. You know, if they get anything from Alden Smith, it's a great deal for them, but they didn't invest much in it. So really the only hit they'll take is on the public opinion. And, you know, Jerry Jones doesn't care about that.
No, he doesn't. And that's who he's going to always be. He's got, I don't know if he's compassionate or, you know, he sees lightning in the bottle and sometimes it works. Speaking of Randy Gregory, because of the new collective bargaining agreement, I know he still has to, I guess, be reinstated. Would you put him on the depth chart?
Yeah, I would really, you know, they know more probably inside the star, well, where they're at their homes right now on Zoom interviews. But they know more, I would say, probably than I do. The only thing I know is that he has applied for reinstatement. Now, that's a huge process that you still have to go through after obviously being suspended indefinitely. So he's kind of in the same category for me as Aldon Smith. Like, I don't think that you can count on that. Like, I don't think you can go in this draft saying, yeah, we lost Robert Quinn, but we should get something out of Gregory or Aldon Smith to kind of make up for it. So we should be okay there. Like, I look at that as, I mean, maybe you work a trade with another team, but they just need so much help still in that pass rush. I just don't see how you can count on either of those guys right now. And like I said, if you get anything from them, well, that's great. But Randy Gregory he was a second-round pick in 2015. He's a first-round talent, and I think he has 7 career sacks. I mean, that guy should be a guy that should have 7 sacks in a season. Mm-hmm. And so if you can get him to play 6, if you tell me either one of those guys plays 16 games for the Cowboys, then I think that they're going to be in pretty good shape with their pass rush. But I just don't think you can count on either one.
John, thank you, man. Great to hear from you. Great to hear your voice, and great to have you on our show. Thank you.
Hey, thanks for having me. I appreciate it.
John Machota, TheAthletic.com, covers the Cowboys. He is one of what will be many analysts who cover the NFL, cover the Cowboys, who will be joining us on a weekly basis. By the way, tomorrow at 4:30, Mickey Spagnola from DallasCowboys.com and a couple of others that we add to the mix as well. Paul.